appreciate them driving and faith they have here in this church. When the Lord's doing something here. And I hope tonight that the message will prepare our hearts for communion. If you take your Bibles, go with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. This message has been on my heart for a while, but I haven't felt led to preach it just yet. And I was praying over the weekend, and God went ahead and gave me the green light. And I hope that it'll prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper this evening. And you know, the Bible's good. I hear preachers, you go around to a lot of camp meetings and hear a lot of evangelists and pastors, and a lot of them tell the same jokes. And I've heard them say many a times, well, just tell them to open their Bibles. So just open it anywhere. It's all good. And you know, it's funny, but it's all good, isn't it?
Amen.
I love the Word of God. I love this passage that we'll be reading tonight. And we're going to take a look at the atonement.
Amen.
The atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm going to begin reading in Colossians in chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is your faithful minister in Christ, who also declared unto you, unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Think about that. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Amen.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, we thank You so much for the crowd that You brought out here, Lord, to take part in the Lord's Supper here shortly. And Father, I pray that just for the next few moments, that You just get me out of the way. Help me to preach Jesus. Help me to preach the cross. Help me to preach the blood. I pray that You help me to do so with power, with love, with a sound of mind. Now, empty me of self, Lord, and please fill me with Your Spirit in this hour, Lord. Help me to preach and to worship You in truth and in spirit. And God, will give You all the thanks and all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for it. For it's in the lovely name of Jesus that we pray these things. And for His sake, amen. Now we're going to focus tonight on verse number 14. I began to think as I was reading through the text in verse number 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. It made me think of Brother Jacob's devotion just a moment ago. He said there's many things that we feel that we could draw power from, but ultimately the greatest power anyone can possess here on this earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I am His and He is mine, I know. I'm glad that I know I've been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. I'm part of that heavenly host. One of these days, if the Lord tarries and I see the grave, I'll be resurrected bodily to meet Him in the air. If that doesn't happen, if God comes before then, and I believe He just might, we're going to go up in the clouds. We're going to meet the saints in the air. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to be changed. We're going to be just like Him. We're going to receive glorified bodies. And I'm glad that my God has the power to do that.
Amen.
Buddha does not have the power to do that.
Amen.
The God of Islam and the the prophets of these false religions, they have no power, no ability to do these things. But Jesus Christ, all power and all dominion, ultimately one day all things will be brought to consummation, all the nations will be made and all His enemies will be made His footstool. And I'm glad here this evening that that's the God that I know. That's the God that I serve this evening.
Amen.
I'm glad about that. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers into the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Friend, tonight I hope and I pray that you can put your finger on a time, on a place perhaps in your life where God, the Holy Ghost, convicted you and drew you with the word of the gospel and the truth of salvation unto the saving knowledge that Jesus is Lord, and you were delivered when you believed, when you trusted in Him, when you called upon the name of the Lord. I hope and I pray there's been a time in your life that that's happened for you. It says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm just as saved now as I'll ever be. And a million years from now, up in that heavenly host, singing the praises of God, I'll still be just as saved as I am right now. I'm glad about that. And I want to take a look at tonight at something that's going to be somewhat of a doctrinal message. I want to look at the atonement, and I want to look at the reason why I can be saved, the reason that I am saved. And I believe that we find three great truths in verse number 14 of Colossians chapter number 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now that word atonement, that's a Bible word. It's also a theological word. It's a very important word for you and I as Christians to understand and to know. And many people would define that word atonement in many different ways. One of my favorite study tools, the old Webster's Dictionary, would define it this way. Atonement, a reconciliation after enmity or controversy, satisfaction or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense or injury. Now, by legal terms, this atonement would be getting even. It would be making things right. It would be repaying the transgressor, the transgressed against. It is a legal term in some sense when we speak of this atonement. It means to repay or to satisfy the wrath of one who was transgressed against. The Bible tells you and I, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I like in that same book how that he'll tell us that we were alienated from the promises of God, not partakers of the goodnesses or promises of God, but by His blood. The Bible says that He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You and I are guilty. You and I are sinners. You and I are transgressors. You and I are the ones who have broken the law. You and I are the ones who sin in the sight of a holy God each and every single day. But Jesus Himself was willing to be the atonement. Jesus was willing to pay the price to make things settled, to make things straight, to be forgiven in the sight of God.
Amen.
You and I walk away with a clean bill. You and I walk away transgression free in the sight of God because of that atonement.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did for you and I. I was reading in an old book yesterday, and the author said this about the atonement of Jesus Christ. It is the supplier of all human need, the answer of all human questions, the minister to all human ills, the joy of all human sorrows, the remover of all human guilt, and the securer of all divine glory. Make no mistake in here this evening. Everything that you and I have in Christ, every good blessing from God, comes from what Jesus did at Calvary for you and I. That's the grace of God. Adrian Rogers said, justice is when God gives us what we deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve, but grace is when God gives us much more than we deserve. When Jesus gave Himself as the atonement, I know how Webster's defines it. It defines it as giving an equivalent for it. But I believe in here this evening, friend, that Jesus paid a much higher price than what I'm worth. I can tell you that right now. That Jesus' precious blood on Calvary, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, gave Himself for a wretch, a sinner, an undeserving, unholy creature such as myself and such as you. God was willing to pay that price for you and I.
Amen.
I'm glad for that atonement. We have unsearchable riches. Those of us that are saved in here tonight, we have unsearchable riches in Christ because of the atonement. So we come to verse number 14, in whom we have redemption. To redeem something means to buy it back. Means there was a price that needed paid. My Bible says that Jesus gave Himself a ransom for many, in whom we have redemption. We'll call this the Man of Atonement. The Man of Atonement. Paul would write to Timothy, the young preacher, and say, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." It is not the Pope. It is not the preacher. It is not someone who says that they're the mediator between God and man. As a matter of fact, you know, you remember in the book of Job when he said that he desired that he would have a daysman? That's somebody to mediate. That's somebody between. You and I, as unholy, sinful creation, unholy, sinful creatures, we needed someone to bridge that gap between us and God. And so that's why Jesus Christ, make no mistake, Jesus Christ is just as much God as God the Father. God the Holy Ghost is just as much God as Jesus Christ. It is a holy trinity, a perfect three in one. The Bible says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Jesus, the very God of heaven, left heaven's throne and was made in the likeness of men and took upon Him the form of a servant that He might suffer and die in flesh to pay our sin debt. That's the Man of the Atonement. He bridged the gap. When it was not possible for you and I to get to heaven, we could not work ourselves up there. We could not live to a holy standard to get ourselves to achieve a place of perfection to get into heaven. We're all transgressors. The Bible said, Isaiah the prophet said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Paul said, "There is none good. There is none that seeketh after God." David said, "I am shapen in iniquity and sin. Did my mother conceive me?" And so an imperfect purchase, something imperfect had to be purchased by something that was indeed so very perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He Himself had to come and die to be the atonement for you and I. Paul said in Romans chapter number 5, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." It is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross alone. There is no second work of grace. There is no conduit of works through which God works in your life in order to save you by your own will or by your own merit or by your own works. There is nothing that you could do down here on this wicked world to earn your way to heaven. The work was already done. If it wouldn't have been done, Jesus wouldn't have hung on that old bloody cross and said, "It is finished." Finished, he said it was. My pastor, he's preached on that so many a times. He was the editor for a study Bible, and if you read it in the notes, the note that he put in there where Jesus cries from the cross, "It is finished," is the word teleoste, I believe it is, and it's the very same word that in that Greek Roman culture, when the gladiators would fight in the games and they would slay the enemy, they would put their foot upon the neck of their slain enemy and they would cry out that very same word. You know what Jesus did when He gave Himself, the Man of Atonement, to suffer and die on Calvary's cross? He led captivity captive. All those things that held you and I back, the corruption, the sin, the deceitfulness, the lust, the wickedness, hell, the grave, all these things we were held back, we were chained down by. But God, upon Calvary's cross, He gave Himself to die and He said, "It is finished for you and I." Amen. He atoned as the man of atonement. Amen. Amen. Look back at verse number 14 with me. Not only do we see the man of atonement in whom we have redemption, but we see the mode of atonement. Perhaps you're not familiar with that term. Don't feel so bad. I wasn't familiar with it the first time I heard it either. I was getting ordained. That was one of the questions when I was being asked by the ordination council. My pastor and I would practice, and we were talking about the order of service and how things would go. And I remember the first time he asked me what the mode of atonement was. And I told him I had no idea. I didn't know what that word meant. I never heard it before. I remember him looking at me, and I felt like a fool. He said, "Son, I can't ordain you if you don't even know what the mode of atonement is. I never heard that terminology before. I didn't know what it meant." Something, the mode of something, listen, it is the means by which something is procured. It is the means by which something is paid for. The atoning mode here this afternoon for you and I is nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That was what God used to pay for our wretched souls. Amen. The priestly office in the Old Testament was an anointed office. There were three offices, if you'll remember, in the Old Testament that required an anointing. There was the office of the priest, the office of the prophet, and the office of the king. The office of the king was to rule the government of the people. The office of the prophet was to reveal God to the people. But the office of the priest, a very peculiar office, was to relieve the guilt of the people. And you go and you read in your Bibles how that God would institute the Passover feast, remembering how that when God pronounced the plagues upon the Egyptians, you remember that 10th and final plague when God told Moses that He was going to slay the firstborn of all the Egyptians, and He gave the Israelites a way out. He said, "You take a lamb without blemish, it's spotless, and you'll slay it, and you'll put the blood in a basin, and you'll take the hyssop, and you'll get the blood, and you'll put it across the lintels, you'll put it across the doorposts of your houses, and when the death angel comes and passes through and takes those Egyptians," He says, "when I see the blood, I will pass over." That blood was an atoning blood, because that was the covenant that God made with His people, that His wrath might pass over them. So God institutes the Passover feast. And every year, if you're reading your Bibles in the Old Testament, they do what's called the Day of Atonement. And once a year on that day of that feast, there's one man, the high priest, and he'll put on a special garment with bells, and he'll go behind into the veil into the holiest place, and he'll take the blood of that lamb in that basin, and he'll pour it across the mercy seat of God in that place. He wore those bells along the skirt of the hem of his garment, because if those bells stopped clinging, they knew that he wasn't right with God when he went in there, and he died from the sheer presence and the glory of God. But once a year, one man would take that back there to atone for the sins of the people of God, and he'd pour that blood across the mercy seat, and God would stay His wrath. Listen to me. The blood of bulls and goats did not bring the forgiveness of sins. Rather, it stayed the wrath of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not by the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereof perfect. For them would they have not ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in verse number 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Amen. He didn't bring the forgiveness of God. The obedience stayed the wrath of God. You read in your Bibles about what happened to Abraham. Their faith was counted unto him as righteousness. I don't believe that those works were necessary for their salvation, but I do not believe they would have done those works if they wouldn't have had that faith. I don't believe they would have poured that blood on the mercy seat. I don't believe they would have observed the things of God. The Bible says that "ye shall know a tree by its fruits." Amen. They obeyed God. They observed these things that were a picture of the atoning Lamb of God. the once and for all, self-sufficient sacrifice for all of sin, the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would say in Romans 5, much more than now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Just like when the death angel passed through the camp of Egypt and he slew all those people and he came down to where the Israelites were and they dwelt in those huts and those slave villages, when he passed through and he saw the blood, he did not pronounce wrath upon them. He did not slay their firstborn. You and I, when death comes upon us as a Christian, God sees the blood. God sees the image of His own Son, and because of that, we merely feel just the death has lost its sting. We just feel the shadow of death. It merely passes over, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to worry about what the rich man went through in Luke chapter number 16 when he lifted up his eyes in hell. We don't have to worry about any of that because we're free from the wrath of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The mode of atonement. There was a man years ago, and I probably told this story before, but I like to tell it, so guess what? I'm going to tell it again. There was a man years ago who wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood, and he was a medical doctor. He had a background of a physician, and he wrote in that book some interesting things about blood, and he wrote some things about pregnancy and about the miraculous conception of our Lord Jesus Christ. His name was M.R. Dehan, and in that book, he writes about the umbilical cord and how it's a fantastic and beautiful design that God had created to use that mother's body to nurture that baby's body, and he talked about that umbilical cord and everything that it did and how miraculous it was, and he makes this statement. He says, everything that child needs passes through that umbilical cord. All of its nutrients, all the minerals its body needs, all the hydration that its body needs, all the food and all the things that baby might need passes through that umbilical cord. But he made this statement and was quick to say, there's one thing, however, that does not pass through the umbilical cord, and that's blood. You get that blood from the second chromosome, the chromosome of the father. If you've got blood in your veins, you got it from your daddy in here this evening. That's how it is. That's just how it goes. He said all that to say this. Our Lord conceived the Holy Ghost in a virgin's womb. I still believe in the virgin birth tonight.
Amen.
When He died on Calvary's cross, when He was smitten, when He was beaten, when the crown of thorns was pressed and plaited down into His brow and the blood ran down the face of our Savior, it was not the blood of sin-cursed Adam. It was not the blood of an earthly carpenter, Joseph, but rather it was the divine blood of God. Calvary's cross was not stained with the blood of a criminal or a malefactor, though He was numbered with the transgressors. It was stained with the innocent blood of God's perfect Son, Jesus Christ. It was stained with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our mode of atonement this evening. That's our claim to salvation. That's the only thing that you and I have as unholy sinners in the sight of God. That's the only thing that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
That's the mode of atonement. That's what paid for your salvation and mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. In whom we have redemption through His blood. What's it say? Even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
We've seen the man of atonement. We've seen the mode of atonement. But tonight I'd like for us to look at one more thing, and that's the meaning of atonement. Even the forgiveness of sins. The psalmist said, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us."
Amen. Amen.
God has cast your sin into the sea of the crimson red blood of Calvary. And that's all He sees now. When He looks at you and I, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Our unholy record, our transgressions, the things that we've done wrong were put upon Jesus at Calvary's cross. And the Bible said, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus literally became our sin so that we could be clothed in the righteousness of God and stand before God justified, sanctified. Hallelujah. One day we're going to be glorified, but one of these days we'll stand in heaven and we'll have the righteous record of Christ imputed to you and I. If you're saved in here this afternoon, it's already happened for you. That's what it means to be a part of that atonement. That's the meaning of that atonement. It's the forgiveness of sins. It means we're forgiven. It means we can stand righteously in the sight of God with nothing else to claim but the blood and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to those of us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." That's my power, Brother Jacob. That's my claim. That's all I have here this afternoon is Jesus Christ and His blood. That's all I've got. I'm glad He cleansed me. I'm glad He made me whole. As wicked and as dirty as I was, God would be willing to change a sinner like me. Conform me to the image of His Son. Now one of these days we're going to be glorified and we're going to receive that. We're going to battle this sinful flesh till that happens. But friend, if you're saved, you've got no reason to doubt it here tonight.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been saved? Have you been plunged neath the crimson flow of Calvary's tide? Do you know for certain that your sins have been washed away? Isaiah said, "Come and let us reason, saith the Lord. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool." I'm glad He's made me clean tonight.
Amen.
Years and years ago, several hundred years ago, there was a school for the children of the aristocracy there, a boarding school in a private school in France. And it was a ladies' school, and there was a teacher, and he had a class full of young women, and he was teaching them, and he was educating them so that they could go off and go to college and get educated and come back and be heirs to the inheritance that they had back home through their aristocracy. Very well-to-do people, very exclusive school. And he noticed one day that the girls began to be unthankful and began to be ungrateful for all the blessings they had in their lives. And he said, "We're going to take a field trip today." He said, "I want to take you ladies somewhere." And he loaded them up on a wagon and he took them to the far side of town where they had never been before. He took them to where they would call the peasants, where the peasants lived. They went to where those peasants lived, and as they were on that wagon, they were shocked at the things they'd seen. They'd never seen people have to work that hard in their life. They couldn't believe that people were living in homes in the conditions they were living in. And one little girl in the back of that wagon, in her dress and in her jewelry, decked out in her apparel, she looks, and he looks back at her, and she's got tears coming down her eyes because she's looking at a little girl sitting in the dirt, playing in that dirt. And she said to that teacher with tears in her eyes, she said, "Why? Why is that little girl in such shape? Why is she so dirty? Does her mother not love her?" And the man looked to that girl and he said, "No." He said, "The mother loves her indeed very, very much, but she doesn't mind that dirt." See, the mother loves the little girl and doesn't mind the dirt. See, you don't mind the little girl, but you hate that dirt. And he said this to that young lady as she wept there on the back of that wagon looking at that little girl. He said, "And until someone comes by and hates the dirt and loves the little girl, she's going to stay just the way she is." What does it mean to have received the atonement? It means when you and I could not save ourselves, when you and I could not clean ourselves, when you and I were sinners in the sight of a holy God, Paul's words still echo true today, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was willing to cleanse us. He was willing to make us whole. He loved us, but He hated the sin, and He loved us so much that He'd rather die than see us be separated from Him in an eternity in a devil's hell." And He proved it when He gave Himself on Calvary's cross. He gave Himself the Man of Atonement. He shed His blood, the mode of atonement, and thank God here tonight I know the meaning of atonement. I've been cleansed. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I've been made whole. He's my Savior this evening. Because I've received the atonement. Jesus washed all my sins away. Glory to God.
Amen.
And I'm glad about it.
Amen.
Have you received the atonement? Do you know that man of which I speak tonight? Do you know the man of atonement? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? For just one moment, every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Jeremy comes to play the piano. Now, I believe the Lord had me to preach this tonight in hopes that we might prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And I wonder how many Christians would be willing to take some time and just get up on this altar tonight and thank God that He, the King of Glory, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, He's altogether lovely, as Solomon said, that He would be willing to leave heaven and die. Men and ladies are coming to the altar. I invite you to come. God bids you come. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're here this evening and you've never been saved, that can happen. Everything can change. You can receive that atonement. The blood, just as it was applied to the door lintels of the Hebrew people, God can apply that blood to your heart. And when the death would come, you won't feel the sting. You'll merely feel the shadow. You'll go home to be with God. I'm so glad here this evening that I've received the atonement. I'm glad I know Him as my Savior. I'm glad I know for certain that if I died, I'd be on my way to heaven. Not because of anything I've done, not because of anywhere I've been, anything I've said, only because of the man Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, God's only begotten Son, God the Son, the perfect Lamb of God. He is my atonement this evening. Hallelujah.